proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. If you're tuning in throughout the continent of Africa, the U.S., Canada, or worldwide online, we welcome you to the program. What you're hearing today is a series of conference talks that I did at Lake Tahoe for young adults. This is for your young adult and, of course, for everyone. But young adults face unique challenges today, and this is designed to be a blessing to them and help them think through the challenges of life in their struggle often with their faith. So we're going to look at this today. Today we're looking at Philippians chapter 4 and the problem with anxiety. You can find this right online at agradio.org. Thanks so much for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know that this is another area where we've looked at these sort of things this week of what is attacking trust in the Lord. Of what he's addressing here are all the things that overwhelm us and that bring us things that we're filled with care about. The anxiety that comes about, that brings all the stress, that brings about the tension, that brings about the weariness, even causing the feelings of being overwhelmed. You guys all know this. This is normal to life under the sun after the fall. This is what we go through. What's interesting to me is that Paul uses the same word that Jesus chose. So maybe this is a little bit helpful when we think about anxiety to really think of it more in the category of worry. What I want to focus on here is not the kind of anxiety. I realize we have anxiety that's real anxiety over our bodies. We live in that pressure and culture. I understand that. A lot of you face that and struggle with that. You have this anxiety over perception and how you look and how people perceive you. This is the kind of stuff that we all go through, and Jesus is taking that burden off you. You don't have to do that. To whom it matters, you have acceptance. But he's really, I think, I want to focus on here this anxiety about tomorrow, this anxiety about generally about life, this worry about where I'm going, how it's going to go, what I'm going to do, where is it all going to be, where am I going to be, I don't see anything happening, all this stuff that really does consume us, and you know what it does. This is what Paul's addressing here in Philippians chapter 4. It's the things that are absolutely beyond your control. Now, by the way, if you haven't figured it out yet, you don't have much in your control. My dad used to say this to me all the time. He used to say, he said, you know, you can't worry about what you don't control. You know, if you think about it, I don't have much that I really am too much in control of in the what we call circumstances of life. I'm responsible in the choices that I make. That's not what I'm talking about. But there are certain things that happen to us that we have absolutely no control over. You know this, and I'm trying to give you a concept to work with. Call it this. Call it the tyranny of your circumstances. The tyranny of the circumstance. And with the tyranny of the circumstance, things come upon us that you have no way of stopping or controlling. You know this generally in life. You know this generally in society right now. Who can control what's happening right now that makes us worry about the future of our country? This is what everyone's talking about, right? Worry about what's happening. It's not much in our control, is it? Not much. And we spend a lot of time worrying about it. There's so many things that we didn't ask for, we didn't create. It's the storm, isn't it, that came. And these are the things that, I mean, think of Christians throughout history that have been persecuted for their faith. They had absolutely no control over that. One day everything was absolutely smooth going, and the next day it seemed like society turned on them. And what in the world? We have to stop this. We have to stop this. See, it's this kind of worry that overcomes us and consumes us. And you know what it does. What does it do? Well, you know what it does in the way that Paul addresses it and tells you what the Lord's going to do to help you through this. But it attacks the heart and the mind, the faculties of the soul. In other words, when you're talking about the mind, everything that we think about, everything that we're constantly is going around in our heads, that is constantly in the course of our days there, and we're thinking about, and it's deep within us. It's taken a seat in the heart that it has emotionally attached to us, and this is the stuff that is now driving life. Worry. Okay? So this is what the apostle is talking about. If you want to look at a tyranny of circumstance unlike any other, and I won't read it tonight, because most of you will never have to face this kind of tyranny of circumstance, read the story of Job. I mean, what that man had come upon him in a day, he had no control over. Remember? He lost everything. He lost his money. He lost his family. He lost his health. All of it. And this was a man of God. That story is put there for us. So these things are outside of our control. And God, here the apostle understands that in these moments, God has not just left us there. God does not expect us to stay there. God gives us help in this minute. God gives us help at this time. You're not alone to figure this out. You're not alone to go through this. You're not alone when depression sets upon you to sort of try to find your way through the tunnel that you feel like you're in. That's not what it is. So again, three things that we've seen that attack trust, right? It's anger and bitterness at circumstances. It's fear, and it's worry. It's worry. So it is taking control of the heart and the mind. And, you know, this is something that pastors go through all the time. The stress of ministry, we say, you know, carrying all this. In fact, it's been so bad on me. It was so interesting that I had to go to the doctor recently over some of this stuff. And the doctor said to me, listen to this. This is what the doctor said to me. You have got to calm down. And I said, well, I think I'm calm. Stop coffee right now. Okay? That's what he said. And then I said, I don't want to stop coffee. Come on. And then he said, listen to this. This is the doctor. You need to meditate. The doctor's telling me that. You need to do some meditation exercises. Yoga. Yeah, like I'm going to get down and do yoga, right? I'm not doing yoga, okay? My wife tries to get me to do that stuff, but I'm not doing that. What is the instruction the Lord gives you here? Well, notice what he says. Do not be worried, do not be anxious about life, right? And what does he say to do? But in everything by prayer. Now, my guess is if I went around and surveyed the room tonight, I would say you're all just great prayer warriors, right? You're all doing it frequently. You're all in prayer, aren't you? Well, if I have a hard time with it, I think you probably have a hard time with it. If I'm wrong, then you can rebuke me at the end, okay? It's a discipline. It's a discipline of your faith. And part of it is that, you know, sometimes we think prayer has to be like this, right? And that's not always, that's not commanded in the scripture, you know, to pray like that. But we have this concept of prayer, and it just seems like a lot of work, and we don't even really know how to do it well. And here we're being encouraged to pray, and you'll notice this, that, and it's hard for us. We don't even know how to stay focused when we pray. Especially if what I've said is true, that anxiety has overtaken the heart and the mind, how in the world am I going to go to the Lord in any kind of meaningful way and pray in that moment? This is why your prayers don't seem to get past the roof, right? But this is what he's calling us to here. I want you to pray. And what he essentially does for you in Philippians 4 is he gives you a help toward prayer. He helps you to understand prayer. Remember, some of the best prayers in the Bible were the shortest. It doesn't have to be long, eloquent. Listen, if you think it has to be that, read Jesus rebuking people who are trying to do that with vain repetitions, right? What's it coming from the heart? So notice the outline here of prayer, that the first thing he says here is he says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So he's giving you a way forward here. The first word for prayer is what we call kind of a doxological kind of word. What that means is I'm approaching prayer first with a certain mindset in a worshipful state, a worshipful attitude, an attitude of a first acknowledging him. Now, when you're anxious and when you're full of anxiety, that's not what we do. And there are times the Psalms show us people crying out from the depths of their heart and their woes and their hardships this way. But I believe the right way to pray is first to come at the Lord praising him, acknowledging him, which is one of the hardest things to do in prayer for us. If you listen to our prayers, they're mainly consumed with what? All of our requests of him. But we haven't first come to him by really acknowledging him and what I said yesterday, enjoying him, right? Not using him, enjoying him. And this is, I think, an important part, that notice that he connects this here with the kind of devotional approach in prayer to thankfulness. And notice, like, for instance, Psalm, I'll just read it, 103. Notice this prayer, and the Psalms are prayers of God's people. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know this, but listen to it. You hear it read so much in calls to worship. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You sang out tonight, holy, holy, holy. You were enjoying an attribute of God. You had delight in singing that. I remember, one time, and we had a prayer meeting, and an old guy from Vietnam would come to the prayer meetings, and we would be there, and it was 6 a.m, and we're sitting there just, And we would start, and he stopped us, and he said, what are you guys doing? He says, let's sing for a minute. And, you know, we're Reformed. We don't want to do too much emotion here, you know, right? Let's sing for a minute. And the effect of that, as we sang and then prayed, was really wonderful. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not everything he's done. Hear thanksgiving coming out of this now, just what Paul's saying. What has he done for me? Well, the beginning of Psalm 103 rehearses five things he's done for you. First thing, he's done what? He has forgiven all your sins. Whoa. Second thing, he heals your diseases. In the course of your life, has he not helped you when you've called out to him? You're here. He redeems your life from the pit. How many dumb things have you done? How many times have you almost wrecked your life choosing to do stupid things you know you shouldn't have done? And yet you're here at Lake Tahoe at a conference this weekend, right? He redeems your life. He pulls you up all the time. Crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, does not give you what you deserve. He satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, constantly doing these kind of things for you. Now, when anxiety has overtaken the heart and the mind, that's not what you're thinking about. But Paul is saying, follow this. Open the Psalms, they're prayers of God's people. Let that first take into the heart. Acknowledge him prayerfully this way and thank him. And then he invites you to do what? Go ahead and pour out your heart. Go ahead and cast your cares upon him. Go ahead and tell him what's burdening you. Go, and this is all trust, by the way. Go ahead and open up and tell him. Talk. You know what prayer is? All prayer is talking to God. That's it. If you have a father who's loved you this way, an earthly father, and done wonderful things for you, and imagine the greatest thing your earthly father has ever done for you, and you just turned around and said nothing. That's kind of heartless, isn't it? Thank you. Thank you for this. And he invites you then to cast your cares upon him, as we read this morning, because he cares for you. So he's giving you this sort of path forward in this to come to him. And then I want us to think about, well, what's he going to do? What is this? Does prayer work? Does prayer change anything? And we have these long discussions about that. And it has always been the truth that God works through the prayers of his people. We've seen this all throughout Scripture. Read Hezekiah on his deathbed. He prayed to the Lord, and the Lord raised him up. But is it going to change the circumstance? Is it going to remove the storm? And you want to hear my great answer? Maybe. Maybe. I want you to notice what he says the Lord promises he'll do for you here when you come to him this way. Verse 7. So let's read it again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's what's going to happen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whoa. Let me re-say that. Do this, and he'll make everything a lot better. He'll change everything and fix it. It's not what he said. Do you see what he said? In the areas that are being assaulted, that are taking you away from the Lord so that you cannot trust him, here's what he's going to do for you. He is going to, and he uses a military word here, he is going to set a garrison around your heart and your mind. So what does that do? Well, he may change a circumstance if he desires to, but if he doesn't, he's going to change your whole perspective in it. You see? He's going to help you to look at everything differently. And have you ever seen someone in the midst of their hardship and trial when all of a sudden they've been panicked and distressed and the calm of the Lord comes upon them and they're looking at it entirely differently? The witness of that is just a beautiful thing. So this is what he's going to do for you. He's going to guard your hearts and your minds. The Holy Spirit who dwells within you is going to set a garrison around you so that no longer will the worries that overcome you dominate you. This is something that he says he will do for you. And this is a promise that is right here. And I think we have to take it seriously. But it doesn't remove the responsibility to be coming to him and talking to him in prayer. So I didn't say, if you just pray, it's going to solve everything, did I? No, I didn't say that. I said that when you come to the Lord and trust him, he is promising to care for you and bring you through it, just like we looked at this morning, giving you perspective, changing perspective, even if he doesn't change circumstance, okay? Now, let me just show this to you briefly in the time we have left that happened in the life of the Apostle Paul. You want to see this happen? I think I know why he wrote this. I think I know exactly why he was able to say this, because this very thing happened to him. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, okay? And then we'll look at verses 7 through 10. So Paul was caught up to the third heaven in this passage. He doesn't even want to tell anyone it's him because he's not one of these super apostles that wants attention. As a matter of fact, he's saying that only because everyone's criticizing him as weak. And they looked at him and they thought, you're a pathetic. You can't be an apostle because look at you. You show no strength. Your message seems weak. You don't seem validated. How could an apostle of God look like you? Okay? Listen to verse 7. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Here we go. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. So here's the great apostle Paul, who you would think this guy has it together. This guy is a beacon of light to everyone. This guy's the strength of Christianity. And God, wanting to keep his apostle humble, gives him a thorn in the flesh. What is that? I have no idea. The Bible doesn't tell you, so you'll relate to it. He gives him a thorn in the flesh, something that severely troubled him. So what does he do? He goes to the Lord and he pleads, take it away. Three times, take it away. Take it away, Lord, just take it away. And here's the answer. It's just really wonderful. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, I've got you. My grace is resting upon you, but you're looking at this wrong. It is my power that is resting upon you in this thorn that I gave for you. You have not yet learned to look at life that way. You're not trusting me. So his prayer was misdirected. He didn't come to him in the way he would later instruct the Philippians to pray in the midst of their hardships. And so notice what happens here. As soon as God says, my grace is sufficient, the very thing he says in Philippians happens. All of a sudden, a perspective change comes over his heart and his mind. Now listen to the guy. Is he saying, take it away, I'm furious? No, listen to him. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, whatever they are, in whatever form I have them, so that the power of Christ will rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content. Listen to this, you guys. This is the heart of trust. I am content with weaknesses. I am content with insults. I'm content with hardships. I'm content with persecutions. I'm content with calamities. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. That's the backwardness to everything I've been talking to you about. You think when you're strong. It's not true. He is saying when I'm weak, when I'm at my weakest and I'm depending on the Lord, then his power and strength is going to be shown. You see it? And that's what's so beautiful about the sort of way forward he gives us in these things of going forward in life. And in trust, his peace will guard your hearts and your minds. I mean, we sing this all the time. You know, as we go forward, that the Lord desires a life of joy and peace for us. Did you notice that at the beginning of this, what was the first thing he said? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It is not that the hardships of life, it is not that the perplexities of this all are removing the possibility for real joy now. And I want you to notice one other thing he says, and we'll close. In Philippians 4:6, probably the most overlooked verse that you've probably never talked about is this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Therefore, do not be anxious about anything. What does that mean? Well, it's what you heard this morning. The Lord's in the boat with you. In other words, he's with you now. That's not just the day of his return. People recognize this was an Old Testament phrase that was used to tell Israel, the Lord is with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not abandoned you in this. So he's carrying you. He's shepherding you. He's stronger than all of this. And he's promised to keep you. You know, as we go forward, that the Lord desires a life of joy and peace for us. Did you notice that at the beginning of this, what was the first thing he said? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It is not that the hardships of life, it is not that the perplexities of this all are removing the possibility for real joy now.
Thank Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.